May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, there's a lot in the lessons today. We know that there's definitely a need for forgiveness. There's definitely a need for change, a need for repentance. And then, I don't know if Mark meant this or not, but it's supposed to be Rose Sunday, which unfortunately did not get into the bulletin. And Rose Sunday usually means it's kind of like a lighter mood. And then when you start off with this reading, I almost started to giggle because I thought, well, we know the year B isn't really lighter. But if we think about it, because I was trying to reconcile it in my head, it's all about God's mercy. So we'll go with that thought for Rose Sunday. Anyway, we know that the Israelites had been wandering. They had been freed from Egypt. They had been freed from slavery. And they were just wandering around in the wilderness. But freedom requires responsibility. And they were not quite willing to own that. They were more complaining. They kind of wouldn't cooperate with Moses. They wouldn't cooperate with God Almighty. And so basically what they did was they were kind of a complaining people of God. They complained, we know that at one point there was not enough water for them. Then they were complaining about food. Then they were complaining about the type of food. Then they were complaining about Moses and Aaron and God Almighty himself. So they were kind of an impatient group of people, very demanding and self-centered. And so what happens? Well, they ran into serpents, but they were actually like little, very straight, small worms. And they figured, okay, God sent them. So they must have been feeling guilty. And so automatically God gets blamed for this. Well, God doesn't do that. But they went to Moses. And so God told Moses, all right, make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole. Does that remind you of anything? Well, we heard it right in the gospel. It reminds us, it's very similar to when we look at Christ. Whoever looks at Christ crucified on the cross shall be saved. But the pole, which is still used by the medical profession, what happened was these little snakes, these little worms, when they got into you, usually around your feet or your ankles, they could not be extracted from your body except through having a very thin, long piece of wood, and then you'd stick it in the hole, and the worm would come out through that. And it was very useful and very meaningful. If that didn't happen, the person would usually get extremely sick or die. Now, Jesus's cross, we know, isn't hurtful to us at all. It was for him, but not for us. It was a God-given gift of perfect love, perfect forgiveness before we even ask, and a source of reconciliation to God the Father. So Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God is always ready and wanting and willing to protect us, to heal us, to save us, to forgive us, and to love us. He's got always his open arms trying to love us back to himself. And truly, God is, as Saint Paul said to the Ephesians, God, through Jesus Christ, is rich in mercy. His mercy is just such a gift of love to us. It's unbelievable. Our God is always, always self-giving, self-sacrificing. And we're to get a hint from that. That's how our lives are to be. Self-giving to God and self-giving and patient and loving towards one another. Next, Jesus tells us, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved by him. What mercy that is. What love that is. God, he sent a Savior. God did not send a destroyer, someone that's going to hurt us. God sent us Jesus Christ, which shows us the mind of God, the person of God, the love. It's such an example of God Almighty. And we are, if we remember from the Transfiguration, God calls Peter and James and John, and us too, pay attention to Jesus, my son, the beloved. I want you to listen to him first and foremost. This is the God of good news, that the world is to be saved through Jesus. It's been done. It's happened. That's the love and the type of reconciliation. That's God's desire. That's God's way. And how we conduct ourselves is to imitate this. Because our God is always merciful and loving. So at the very end, and here's the Lenten choice or challenge, the verse says, but those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. That's our goal. That's our choice. We can just ignore it, or we can do it and accomplish it through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. That all we do, everything that we do in our lives, is through and with the power of God. We are to love God and love his entire creation. And our whole life, can actually be a prayer. Our life can glorify God. Our life is to praise God every single day. So the Lenten message is to remind us, know our sin, be responsible, ask for forgiveness and strength, but then once we've been given that, use it, and all of us are to change and be merciful and loving and reconciling back to God and to each other. What I'd like to do, if you can get your bulletins, I thought that the prayer of the week just really summed up the lesson. So let's, if you want to, we can pray it one more time together. Oh God,
rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all your deeds may reflect your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.